Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Everybody, welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and today on the show, I welcome another Kelly, but this lady is Kelly Jones, and Kelly is a board-certified sports dietitian. So we're doing a lot of food and nutrition, and I'm using air quotes over here, diet talk on the show today. To give you just a little background about Kelly, from her bio, Kelly's bio says, I speak to many athletic groups and teams. This is in her position. She consults for and develops programming for fitness clubs or for a fitness club that is ranked number 3 in the nation with 12,000 members. And she's also a spokesperson for USA Swimming. And she runs a 4-week virtual sports nutrition course for females. We had a really good talk, and a lot of you are going to, what I love about this is we're starting to have quite a lot of folks on the show that are credentialed experts, right? But even so, many of them have histories of, I don't want to say extreme behavior, but behavior that is in their past because they've learned that's not the right way to live. And it's really inspiring to me to go through an interview like this with Kelly and hear, I know we talked about her past, how she was very injury prone. She was obsessed, you know, kind of extreme dieting more and obsessed with burning calories and working out really hard. And, you know, she just kind of suffered some burnout and got to the point where it's like, this isn't fulfilling. This isn't right. And she had this time period of enlightenment and changed her ways. And she shares the why behind that and how now she has a much more balanced approach and is enjoying life more, is enjoying her fitness journey. And it doesn't, you've heard us talk about this a lot on the show and on our other Fitfluential platforms. We do not want especially newbies to think that getting healthy, getting fit is about deprivation and punishment and excessive working out. But yet many of us that have, that have been down a longer road, we've been on our fitness journey for a longer time. Some of us had to go through that. Like we had to go through some disordered eating thoughts. We had to go through some times where we maybe had extreme dieting practices. And then we realize it doesn't work out and we find our fitness. We find out what works for us. And it's really cool to learn from somebody who is not only so experienced and credentialed, but also has her own life experience where she's had quite a lot of significant aha moments. And so I think you're going to be able to learn from both of those sides of her life story here on the show. So tune in, sit down, and enjoy this chat with Kelly and Kelly. Everybody, we are here with Kelly Jones. Kelly, are you ready to go?
I am ready. I'm excited to be here.
I'm thrilled that you are here. This is going to be a really good conversation and certainly one that needs to be had. It hits on some topics that I've struggled with and some issues. And I know that so many of the women in particular in our audience, this is going to be something that's really going to educate and inspire them and help them go, okay, I get it now. But before we dive in to talking about food and nutrition and food as fuel for our training and getting fit and healthy, let's talk about you first. There's a lot of people that are just getting to know you, just hearing about you first on this show. And I told them a little bit about your background in the bio, but I do always like to ask guests when it's their first time on the show, you know, how did you start your fitness journey? When was that? Some people, it's when they were kids and or when they were in high school and they got into athletics. But I always like to hear, you know, when did you start down a fitness, health, and wellness journey? Why was that for you? And when did you end up at what point did you feel like I've found my fitness? I found what works for me?
Yeah, so I've been lucky to have been active my whole life, but I don't really think that I found my fitness until the past few years, which is interesting and which I think is very common for a lot of athletes. So I grew up, you know, playing softball and being a competitive swimmer. I was a competitive swimmer in college, Division I, and, you know, it kind of sets the tone for, you know, high expectations with fitness and not necessarily always exercising for the right reason. And while I really enjoyed fitness growing up, and I didn't really think there was another option, it was just a part of my life, it wasn't until my competitive swimming career ended that I was a little bit confused about where to go with my fitness journey. So because it's easier than jumping in a pool, I actually started running a lot more, and I enjoyed it, but there was a little bit too much of an obsession with, you know, burning calories. And because I was so used to, you know, swimming and training 20 hours a week, getting really regimented with training for races and had a lot of injuries come along with it too. And it wasn't until I was really done with grad school and started working with more competitive athletes and continuing my education in nutrition more that I saw that it was a little bit of a problem that I prioritized fitness that much. And it wasn't always for enjoyment. So I started a little bit more to do more group exercise. You know, having been a swimmer, your head's under the water all the time and you're kind of, you know, just in your head, in your zone, not really exercising with other people. Running for me was the same way. So in recent years, I've started to do team personal training with a few other women and really love that, doing, you know, heavy lifting, but with other people and having that kind of empowerment from others. And I actually never thought that I would have enjoyed it, but I've started to do Zumba too. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. And I always like, I was that person who's like, oh, that's not intense enough. That's not that hard of a workout. And I remember the first like intense class I went to, I left thinking that it was harder than when I do an hour long run. So, I still do run. I still enjoy swimming and cycling and triathlons. I do yoga a lot, but I've really let my day-to-day guide me a little bit more. And what do I feel like doing now and what's going to make me happy and like reduce stress and enhance my life versus try to use exercises, you know, something that was just there for calorie burn or that I had to do because it was part of my schedule.
Everything you said is, I couldn't have framed it better for so much of what we'll talk about today, but just really in a way for what I feel I want to get across from Fitfluential to the folks that are listening, women in particular. I mean, you hit on so many things, and that is that getting fit and getting healthy, it's not supposed to be a punishment. The activity that you choose to do can and should be fun. You should be enjoying it. It shouldn't
Absolutely.
Be like, and to what you said as well, we've all been there. I think a lot of people, when they start down a healthier journey, most people are going to be started for the purposes of losing weight, for how they look, how they feel. It could
Absolutely.
Be, you know, that a doctor's told them, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I'm not going to shame anybody. I mean, I'm keeping it real. Half of why I want to get fit is it's the aesthetics, it's how I look, but it's also become a much bigger picture. But I love that you said, you know, you went from such a competitive mindset to worrying about just burning calories. And so it was almost like a means to an end. And you probably weren't even mentally present in a lot of the stuff you were doing. And so is that really a way to live? And we can do that in work. We can do that in several areas. But I love that you brought that up, that that's what you've done in finding your fitness and finding what works for you. And I love it. It's like a hybrid. It's a mix and match. That's what it should be. If you
right.
love Zumba, and I know so many people that when they start it, it changes them. I've heard that about so many people. I'm the most uncoordinated person. Nobody wants to see me try Zumba. I would ruin the whole class. So I will someday maybe try it, but I right now it's not my thing. But I love that you found something and that you're doing what you love and what you enjoy, and it's become a treat. And that's what I encourage everybody, if you're listening, that's what fitness should be. That's what your weight loss journey should be. That's what it can be. So if you're looking at it both from a food perspective, which we're about to dive into, and from an activity perspective and thinking, oh, you know, what I have to do if you're saying what I have to do, this is what I should do. I know I should go to the gym. I should get on the treadmill. I should do it for an hour. I'm not losing. No, it shouldn't be that way. You shouldn't be a fitness zombie. I just made that phrase up, fitness zombie.
I love it. we don't want fitness zombies, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we all see it at various gyms, right? Those people that they come in and it's almost like they're in a walking coma. They just go immediately to the treadmill, nowhere else, and they leave and they're not fired up. And I just love everything you said. I think that you've come on a really amazing journey. And that, when I hear you talk about what you do now, you can tell that you really truly enjoy it and that you're doing it for the right reasons. And that I've found in my own personal journey, especially recently, I found myself, like what you said about Zumba, I'm finding myself starting to become interested in things I swore I would never do.
Right.
My trainer, Blaine, I mean, I'm doing things that are what I would describe as no less than, I'm using air quotes over here, like CrossFit-y. And we have so many folks that are into CrossFit and hardcore CrossFit in the Fit Functional community. But I used to look at thrusters and snatches and everything they did. And I'm like, that looks so stupid. I didn't like it. And I was always like, mad respect, Tina, mad respect, Scott, but not my thing. And now that I'm understanding the dynamics behind it and I'm opening myself up to it, I find myself tuning into more women on social media that are into that, more of that style. I do that and I do yoga. So just everybody that's listening, again, let yourself be open. It's a journey. It really should be. And what you start with, you might discover other things like Kelly did with Zumba, and it can completely change you and look at it again as a positive journey, not a punishment. And let's take that and segue right into our topic. You know, what we want to talk about today, Kelly's a registered dietitian and she's very passionate about educating both her clients and that's why we have her on the show, so we can talk about food. A lot of the misunderstandings out there in the fitness space around food. And you know what? I have several questions I can ask on this, but Kelly, I'm going to ask you, what do you typically see are the biggest problems that people, women or men, have around food in their health journey? Is it eating too much? Is it eating too little? I'll let you kind of get us started, because this is something that's going to apply to everybody. But what do you see the most as a problem?
In terms of what I see the most, that's kind of challenging because, you know, I guess the most is probably just going on a diet that people know that they're not going to maintain forever, whether that is, you know, including too much of certain nutrients, like too much protein or too much saturated fat, not knowing that there can be negative health consequences, or it can be something that's a little bit more restrictive and, you know, restricting carbs or restricting certain food groups that really they don't need to be restricting. And, you know, just following things that may have seemed like they worked for someone else. And I use work in air quotes there too, because a lot of times what people think works might seem like it's working for the short term, but then long term, it puts them under either too much mental stress or they end up not having the results that they wanted, whether that be that they gain weight back or they end up with an injury because their body wasn't fueled correctly. So I think that there's a variety of things depending on the person, but I think it really comes down more often to restriction and too many fad diets.
I just wrote down one thing that I want to ask you, and I might just start with this because I actually have never heard anyone refer to this, but you indicated that if somebody's going on, and again, this is typical. This is why I have a feeling we're going to need to have you back, because these are topics that we should cover. I'm very passionate about reaching people that are just starting their health and wellness journey. And I know, because I used to be there, that when you start, you have so many questions and you might not have like we all do in Fitfluential, right? We're connected to probably 7 registered dietitians and 18 personal trainers in our own world, or we are them, right? And so we're used to having a lot of knowledge at our fingertips, but there's a lot of people when they start, they have no idea how much protein they should have. They have no idea how many calories they should have. They have no idea what carbs are and what not to have and what's not bad. You did mention, and I think this could happen to a lot of folks, is they're going to go on a diet, and I'm using air quotes over here, they're going to get something they're going to see in Shape Magazine or Men's Fitness or maybe online, or they're going to buy a book. They're going to go to the bookstore. And I used to do that. I'd buy the latest and greatest Jillian Michaels book or whatever, say, okay, whatever they tell me to have, I'm going to go out and buy all of that. I'm going to throw everything away and I'm on this diet. Mm-hmm. And I thought if I veered from anything, I was breaking the rules. But my question for you is, you brought up food, and if potentially someone goes on a diet, they could not eat appropriately and end up with injury. So what do you mean by that? I've never really actually heard that, but I almost in a way have a feeling I know what you're going to say. So how can, you know, the wrong types of foods or going on an extreme diet actually lead inevitably to injury?
Sure. So a lot of people don't understand that your injury risk is very closely tied to your immune system. So that's one area where it starts to affect your body, is with your immune function. And the other really is just with poor recovery. And that's due to not having the right nutrients that you need for recovery. So a lot of this can be tied back to, in terms of macronutrients, your carbohydrate intake, or the type of fat intake that you have. But there's also so many micronutrients, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants that are involved in both your immune system and in your recovery too. So from an immune perspective, protein, I always explain protein as being like the house that you're built from, but it also regulates a lot of things in your body too. So while it builds your structure, proteins also create your hormones and your enzymes that regulate your metabolism, and they also regulate your immune system. The problem with really restrictive diets is that you often see that people start to have very low intake of, whether it's carbohydrates or not that they're cutting out, a very low intake of calories to match their fitness level. And when the calorie intake gets so low, your body will start to use protein as more of an energy source than it needs to. And often the first thing that gets compromised is the immune functions of protein. So some people notice this as getting sick more often. Other people might notice this as an increased risk for injury or a lower amount of recovery from their workouts.
I'd never thought about it this way, but it absolutely makes sense.
Yeah.
And as I'm sitting here listening to you talk, and you so know your stuff, it just drives home another point that I want to put a place marker here and tell everybody that's listening. Again, particularly if you are a newbie, but really so many of you might have been on your journey for a long time, like I was, you know, 5-10 years before I started realizing and understanding how much you can be guided and learn from professional, from credentialed, excuse me, professionals. In other words, my life has been transformed because I am working 4 days a week with Blaine, my trainer at Gold's mm-hmm. Gym here in Austin. Instead of just going, and I was a little cocky, you know, I remember when I started seeing him, I said, you know, look, I know what I'm doing. I own a fitness company. I'm around fitness people all the time. You know, I just want to have, you know, tough workouts. I learned very quickly that when we started testing my mobility and looking at my range of motion, that I didn't know what I was doing. I was winging it because I didn't have somebody guiding me and telling me that, you know, my hamstrings weren't just tight because they felt funny when I stretched. That was affecting the way I was doing all my movements. And from a nutrition perspective, a lot of people are scared to reach out to a nutritionist or a dietitian. They think it's too expensive, but they're also intimidated, thinking, well, I don't want to hire somebody like that to guide me, because they're just going to say, all I have to, you know, I can only eat egg whites and broccoli.
Right.
That's not the case at all. And if you hear Kelly talking, she clearly knows what she's talking about. But when you really bring the input of a professional into your life, you will start to understand how your body functions. This isn't just, hey, I have extra weight in my belly, should I cut carbs? Everything works together. And I just want to strongly recommend to everybody, we're not recording these podcasts to be an infomercial and say, hey, at the end of the show for $20, you can buy this and a stove. But I really do. And they didn't know, you know, Kelly didn't know I was going to say this. I just encourage everybody. I've seen it in my own life. Start looking into getting professional credentialed help in your training and your nutrition. It's a game changer, I promise you. So thank you for answering that question about injury. Yes. That makes perfect sense. So let's go back then and use this. We're talking about folks starting a air quotes diet, a fad diet, as you mm-hmm. mentioned. There's so many people today that still And again, I don't blame them. I think if somebody is just starting to want to get healthy and fit, you know, they're in their 30s, 40s, 50s, beyond whatever age it is, they're working probably crazy office hours, they're traveling for business, they're a stay-at-home mom or a mom that has kids and is working. It's crazy. And they're trying to say, how and where do I start? And so most people, I do think, will go and choose some diet, and it's going to be extreme. It's going to be something that's going to offer, they think, a quick fix. You know, people say, well, I'll go on Atkins. Oh, I'll just go gluten-free. That's the key. Oh, my friend said that, you know, I just go high carb, high fat, and it's like, we're all impatient. They want the fastest fix ever. But what do you see is the number one problem that starts to happen when people start down that road and they pick an extreme diet? Obviously, I'm going to guess the first thing that happens is they're going to want to give up pretty soon. But what else do you see?
Right. So in addition to binge tendencies for some people, other people can go down the road of more of a disordered eating and eating disorder path. And, you know, we are finding through research that there's genetic links to that. And, you know, even if you go down the binge path of, oh, I've been restricting, and now I feel like I want to eat everything, you know, that is very mentally taxing too. And I think that that is the worst thing that comes of these diets, is that people start to mentally beat themselves up so much if they veer off of them, and then, you know, do want to hop back on again, and it becomes this cycle, or they're missing out on social functions and enjoying time with friends because they're afraid of the food that's going to be there and how it fits into their, you know, quote, diet that they're on right now. But, you know, I work sometimes with, you know, older clients too, who are, you know, in their late 50s, early 60s, and they come to me and they're just like, I can't do this anymore. I've been dieting since I was 15 and I don't want to go on another diet again. So, you know, especially when I'm meeting with younger individuals or people who are, like you've mentioned a few times, starting their fitness and health journey, I want to prevent that for them. You know, that just stress that surrounds food all the time and letting it kind of consume your life and make you feel bad about yourself. You know, health should be something that empowers you, makes you feel more confident to get healthier, not something that makes you have more negative self-talk and beat yourself up over the decisions that you're making.
I'm taking notes. That was perfect. Health should be empowering, not making you beat yourself up more. It's funny. I remember when I first went to see my doctor, Dr. Sebring here, and he's actually been interviewed on the show. He, you know, there's a questionnaire, as there are with most doctors. I've seen two doctors. He's my second on balancing my hormones, and I'm on bioidenticals. Mm-hmm. And they do a questionnaire. And I remember one of the questions was, do you have a history of this, this, and this? And I'm sure you're familiar with this type of a questionnaire. And one of them was extreme dieting. And I remember looking at that going, well, I don't have extreme dieting. And when I first spoke with him, he's like, so you've been on a lot of different diets. You've really been food restrictive in the past. And the more I look back, and I remember Blaine, my trainer, talked to me about that too. He's like, you did have it. You might, some of us think extreme dieting might be, you had to have anorexia nervosa, right? Or you had, like, they'll think that's extreme. And I would suggest that extreme dieting can be just as much like, hey, going from, I remember back in the day, getting out of college, like reading in some magazine about the Dolly Parton cabbage soup diet. Mm-hmm. And I did a cabbage soup. I mean, I'm sure there's a ton of listeners that have done that. So yeah, I've tried every diet in my early years, and then I would stop, and then I would, I didn't say it at the time. I would binge. I would do the eating in secret and not want to tell anybody, and then hide the food and throw it away and start fresh on Monday. So I've done it all. I've become more comfortable recognizing my issues and figuring out how to deal with them. And I've gotten much better, but it's a journey. So that's why I feel so strongly about talking about some of these issues.
Absolutely.
And it's so many women in particular. I feel like men tend to be a little bit more, I don't even know what the word practical maybe, and not as emotional about food and dieting as women are. Women have so much around body image and insecurity that can drive poor behaviors. But let me ask you this, because I know that you're going to have some good answers to this. I still see, and it still is a mindset that I have to work with, and a lot of people that are either just starting or in the middle of their fitness journey still think if I want to lose weight and I'm not losing weight, the number one thing I need to do is eat less. I need to cut my calories, and I need to, and then if that's not working, what I need to do is do more cardio. And that is still a pervasive mindset that is out there in the fitness community, whether it's kids in college. It's so weird for me that I now am old enough that I can say kids in college, kids in college, high school. It's women in their 30s, 40s. It's folks that are in the fitness space. That is pervasive. What do you say to people that are thinking the only way I can lose weight is to do more cardio and keep cutting my calories?
You're right. It's so easy to come back to that because I think it's just something that's been around us and, you know, that we've heard our whole lives that those are the ways to lose weight. And to that, I mean, no matter what or how much you're, no matter how much you're eating in terms of calories, the timing of the food intake and the food quality, I think, matter more than anything. So, you know, if someone really is truly trying to lose weight and it's, you know, health related and they know that it'll improve their confidence and that they'll feel better that way, you know, the timing of their food intake can mean so much. And I see so many people that will, you know, restrict in the morning. That's when a lot of people wake up and they think, oh, you know, I have the most willpower right now, so I'm going to be really strong and eat a teeny tiny breakfast, and I'm going to skip my morning snack and, you know, just have a salad with protein for lunch. And then by the end of the day, they feel like binging again. So just by putting in the nutrients that you need before your body needs to use the energy, that alone can be really helpful. So I'm really big on, you know, making sure that people are eating their calories before they're going to use them. I like to use this analogy where, you know, if your car was out of gas and you had a container of gas in your hand that you could put in it, no one's going to push their car up a hill and then put the gas in it, right? Mm. And that's essentially what we end up doing when we restrict so much in the morning and then end up going overboard at night, or if you restrict all week long and then it happens, you know, over the weekend. So, you know, when you're eating less and just doing more cardio, you're just putting your body in this state of stress where it just wants to have, you know, so much more eventually. So another thing in terms of the timing is just the timing of, you know, your macronutrient intake too. And I think that all macronutrients should be consumed almost every time you eat, unless it's like you're running right into a workout or you're in the middle of a workout, then you don't want much fat or much protein. But, you know, at breakfast, get a high quality carbohydrate. And, you know, that could be a sweet potato you baked ahead of time. It could be fruit, but get protein in the morning. A lot of people miss that and then they don't feel full and satisfied all day long. Have a little bit of fat, which, you know, triggers your brain to feel a little bit more satiated too. So I think that that's all really crucial in terms of, you know, when you're eating your food and how you're putting it together. The other thing is the food quality. So a lot of people are just thinking, let me have less and less, but then the quality and the variety of your diet decreases. So people end up on these diets where it's just, you know, sweet potatoes, chicken, and broccoli every day, but researchers have identified, you know, over 20,000 different phytochemical nutrients, which are kind of like antioxidants, and they all work together to feed your metabolism, to feed your energy levels throughout the day, feed your immune system, and make you feel better. So if you're eating the same things every single day, or you're not eating enough different things, then you're really limiting your body's nutrient intake and limiting your health in the long run too.
Fitfluential Radio fans, I have a gift for you. And by gift, I mean the gift that truly keeps on giving. Head on over right now to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up for our now live VIP Fitfluential membership. Our Fitfluential membership is not a diet program. It's not a workout program. You will have access to learning from some of the best trainers, dietitians, nutritionists, doctors, chiropractors, massage therapists, chefs, athletes, authors. I could go on and on and on. A lot of folks that have been on this show. What our Fitfluential membership is designed to do is meet you in the middle and provide all of the education and inspiration that you need, all of the community and accountability that you crave, and everything else that's going to keep you from being one of those statistics in January. All those people that say, I'm going to get healthier this year. I'm going to live my best life. And then by the third week in January, the second week in February, all of those aspirations are gone. Don't let that be you. Go to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up now.
I am so, so, Kelly, I'm so guilty of that. Seriously. Yeah. And I bet a lot of people are. I mean, one of the things that's been very helpful for me, and again, this goes back to our mantra, what we want to get across at Fitfluential, which is we want you to find your fitness. And for me, I realized I want to be those people that can meal prep on Sunday and have all of my stuff in cute Tupperware containers. And, mm-hmm. you know, like I do, I seriously envy those people, but I am not that person. I suck at grocery shopping. I'm great at grocery shopping if it's the holidays and I'm having people over and I'm making lasagna or something like that. I love to cook that way. But doing a bunch of stuff and dividing, I'm horrible at it. So one of the things that's helped me both with making sure I have enough food, which again goes back to not restricting, we need to fuel our bodies, is I use a meal prep service. Mm-hmm. I actually kind of mix up a couple of them that both have foods and I can vary what I have delivered to my house every week, because I used to do that. I would make my people that watch me on social media have seen this. I'd make my turkey meatloaf and I would have turkey meatloaf and green beans like pretty much every day. Mm-hmm. There were sometimes, because I enjoy it, I'd have that for lunch and for dinner. And then I'd have egg whites because I like the way I make my egg whites. I truly do. I'm not just making that up. I mm-hmm. like the way I make my egg whites. But I would have repeatedly the same two or three foods. And then I would get bored and that would make me want to some degree binge or emotional eat. And so everything you're saying, I really actually had never thought about it that way. I just knew, like, to some degree, it's always good from a nutrition perspective and a movement perspective to mix it up. Diversity is the spice of life.
Right.
But when you're putting it that way, that makes such sense that we should be mixing up what we're eating in different food sources instead of just sticking to the same thing. So I'm guessing a lot of people listening have those same issues, and what a great thing to focus on. I also like how you're saying you've got to, and this I think is a perfect segue into my next question. You know, you talk about fueling a car, and it takes a lot of people a while, particularly, again, I'm going to say women. I don't see as many men doing extreme dieting, but women tend to think that fitness and health and getting healthier is all about deprivation. And maybe there's even some aspects of control, but mm-hmm. if you don't fuel, you should definitely try to work your mind, and it's not going to happen overnight, into thinking, I'm a beautiful machine. My body is a temple. I'm capable of so much, but I've got to have gas in the engine of this car to be able to perform. And you also mentioned having macros at every meal. Instead of, you know, so many folks are out there thinking, well, I need to have no carbs. And I think probably a lot of people, by the choices that they're making in food restriction and carb restriction in particular, that's a hot topic right now, is carbs and low carb, and carbs are bad. That's setting people up for all those issues you mentioned before. So let me ask you that particularly, because a lot of people are confused strictly on that area of carbs. And as a registered dietitian, what do you say to people who go, well, I'm supposed to just cut carbs, or, well, it's just all about low carb, right? I should just not have carbs. And they don't really even know what carbs are. How do you deal with people and the whole carb issue?
Right. So I actually, at a fitness club that I consult for, created a class called The Truth About Carbs, because there is just so much misinformation. And carb, you know, we have three energy nutrients and all of them are considered essential. We need them all. And carbohydrates are actually the quickest source of energy for your muscles. So when you think about having a really successful workout and feeling really energized, you want to have that quick source of energy to make the most out of exercise too. But carbohydrates also are the preferred fuel source for the brain. So we want them for both of those reasons, especially. And, you know, even if you have a mentally taxing job, your brain's going to be using those carbohydrates throughout the day. Now, the key is to come back to, okay, let me make sure I'm choosing the higher quality carbs. I like to remind everyone where carbs come from in food, because other than dairy, every other carbohydrate that you eat is a plant. So if you reframe the way that we look at it and you say, oh, well, I need to cut out plants and I need to go on a low plant diet, that doesn't really make as much sense, right? So plants are providing you with, you know, the highest quality of carbohydrate, which is going to give you not only energy, but also all those other nutrients I was mentioning, and a really key nutrient, fiber. And fiber is, you know, something that everyone just hears about, like, oh, it keeps you regular. Oh, okay, I need it for that reason. But you can only get fiber from plant foods, which is, means you can only get fiber from carbohydrate foods. And it actually supports your gut health. So you hear so much about probiotics now. Certain fibers are actually prebiotics. So without having to take a probiotic supplement or drink kombucha every day, you know, just eating fiber can actually maintain your gut health, which we know is related to your metabolism and to your mood and to your immune system. So I think that when people start to understand how to choose the more high quality carbs more often, then they see, oh, wow, carbs make me feel better. They also help me feel full from a meal. And I, you know, have all these other benefits that come along with it, too.
You know, just as you were saying that, I thought of my old Kelly self who was, you know, just about calorie counting. And I mean, this was years ago when I first started, and I was on like 1200 calories a day. And you know, I'm not making a judgment on that. For some people that works, for others, that's way too low. So it's just a point. But for me back then in the early days, I was all about, you know, lean cuisine and healthy choice frozen meals. And just everything was about down to the calorie. How low can I get my calories? How much food can I get in that I enjoy eating to cover my sweet tooth and still be at 1200 calories? And I would do that. I'd be like, well, I love Skinny Cow. So, and I think about food quality and how I was always hungry because I was eating stuff. And it's taken me a while to be able to physically tell the difference that when I eat something like, let's just, and this is no judgment. I'm not saying anything that these brands are bad, but like if I eat a Skinny Cow ice cream, or say I were to get, I remember back in the day loving this Healthy Choice long, it was like a French bread pizza. Mm-hmm. Something I would never eat now just because of it's bread and it's gluten. I mean, things that I tend to really not work for my body. But if I were to eat that whole French bread Healthy Choice pizza that I was obsessed with back then, and I love the taste, I just know it would be like eating air. I would not be full. I would not be fulfilled. As focus, you know, fast forward to today, the type of meal I would have would be a huge salad with grilled chicken and avocado and regular balsamic vinaigrette and a bunch of, you know, probably some nuts on there. And I mean, like a huge salad. Mm-hmm. And it would be something I enjoy that has probably guacamole on it too, just in some degrees. And I'm enjoying it and I'm fulfilled and I'm full afterwards. So that I think just goes back for everybody listening. If you're in that place where you're maybe going on some type of a Nutrisystem or, you know, and again, I don't mean to name names, but I am. I mean, point fingers. I've seen people that go on those types of diets, and I actually dated a guy and I think he was on Nutrisystem, and he would take out his lunch and it was in a cardboard thing. And it was this tiny little, you know, I don't even know what it was. It looked like he was on a spaceship. I'm like, for NASA, what are you eating?
Yeah, like the quality of that food.
And it was lighter than, you know, like several hairs on my body. I'm just thinking, how can you be fulfilled? So food quality is definitely important. And I think so many people are missing out on that, as well as, you know, gut health. So many of us don't realize, and this is kind of a good point for us to start wrapping up with today. Kelly, I'd love to have you back on the show. I think
absolutely. I would love to.
Yeah. You touched on so many things, and I know people are going to write in with a lot of questions for you and we can cover on the next show. But as I was listening to you and I thought about the food quality and I thought about, you mentioned gut health, I want to share with everybody, if you're listening, trust me when I say that as you start down your fitness journey and you know, again, I encourage you, hire a trainer, hire an RD, you know, start getting in contact with somebody who can open your mind so you understand how the body works, because it can be a little overwhelming to see all of these articles in the media, you know, about gut health and go, oh, I don't understand. First, somebody said, like, I love that you brought up probiotics and fiber. You know, people don't know, and they might think, oh, first somebody tells me it's all about fiber and then it's probiotics, and they don't get how it all works together. And ultimately what starts to happen, people, the more you understand, knowledge is power, you'll start to get like, okay, this is why I feel better when I eat real foods. This is why it's not bad for me to have sweet potatoes or potatoes on occasion, and I can have my vegetables and I can have my carbs, and it doesn't mean I can't have this. You start to understand, and you understand how gluten might affect you because you start listening to your body. All of this stuff will start to come together the more that you provide information to yourself and the more that you listen to the experts. So that's why we want to have, outstanding individuals like Kelly on the show, because this cuts through a lot of the crap that's out there. And I think you've explained things very well today. I feel we're just touching the tip of the iceberg, and I wish we had more time, but I'm looking at my clock realizing I have to wrap up. Kelly, number one, I definitely want to have you back on the show.
Great.
You're very articulate. You really know your stuff. And I think you have, I think we can outline some topics and take some of our reader questions and keep talking about this food and fuel and, you know, how to appropriately move forward and get healthy without burning yourself out and driving yourself to injury. Mm-hmm. So number one, I want to have you back. I think you've already said yes.
Absolutely. I would love to. Thank you.
So for everybody listening today, you know, where can they, we'll link up to all of this, obviously, on fitfluentialradio.com. Mm-hmm. Where can people find you online and how can they contact you?
Sure. So I'm on most forms of social media. So Instagram, Twitter, I'm at Kelly Jones RD. I have a nice easy name, so that makes it simple. Over on Facebook, it's just facebook.com/Kelly Jones Nutrition. And then my website is also kellyjonesnutrition.com, and it links out to my blog as well.
Awesome. So everybody, again, we will link up to that in the show notes, and we will definitely be having Kelly back on. So if you have specific questions that you'd like for me and Kelly to connect on and plan to address in our next episode, you can write questions in either in the comments on her episode that you'll see again on fitfluentialradio.com, or you can email us to podcast@fitfluential.com. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope this encourages you versus discourages you about food. We all enjoy food. I really have never met anybody who's like, yeah, I don't like to eat. We all enjoy food, and food should be happiness. Food should be something that is a positive part of getting healthier, not all about deprivation and scolding yourself. I can't have this. So hopefully this show is getting you in that mindset and making you feel encouraged about the future. If you have any questions, again, email us. But until then, we will see you guys next time.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace! Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.